Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening. We have entered the month of August. We are excited. Your time is winding so that you can spring forth into the ministries that God has called you to. This has been an exciting time, a trying time, a challenging time, and we appreciate your faithfulness. We appreciate your commitment to this process. Even though at times, and it's this way anytime, we are following God, we don't always understand why. We're not always sure of the steps we take, but we are assured that He is in charge. And as this ordination preparation has been structured, it is to strengthen you spiritually and physically and mentally to enter a realm that you've never been in before. And some of you may feel, well, I've been in ministry before, this is nothing new. But each time we are sanctified and separated and set aside for Him, the assignment looks different. And we have to be able to flow with what the Lord is having us to do. And sometimes it is a new thing. As we're looking at, in worship, that there is new wine, and new wineskins are being developed. And how pliable will we be, and how surrendered are we to His process? And so we really appreciate your time. We're excited for you, very excited for you. There are those that have really gone all out, and God will bless you. Those that diligently seek Him, He definitely has His reward in His hand. And for those that are still struggling with some things, you know who you are. I am expecting a phone call from you to inform me when you will complete all of your requirements. So we're going to start this evening with our prayer. Warrior today is Brother Errol.
Well, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Our Father in heaven, may your name be blessed. We pray for insight in our ordination. We pray for matrimony, manifestation, momentum, and miracles. Oh God, we pray, as we pray for an awesome time, and we get ready for an awesome time in this ordination. We also pray for our apostle. May God keep her uplifted at all times. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Excuse me. So let's start our meeting with our updates from our corresponding secretary, Elgar Arita.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. So the first update is that candidates and accountability partners, you were emailed on today the evaluation explanation document that gives you important details about the examination and then a breakdown of how you're going to be graded. So if you haven't already checked your emails, please check your email and review. And then for candidates, the garment check-in, this is just a reminder, the garment check-in is going to be held on Thursday, August 15th, 2019. at the AEN conference registration table. So be sure to have all of your garments labeled with your name in a garment bag, not a plastic bag, but a garment bag, and on a hanger. There's going to be a garment checklist that you're going to, that you and the garment checker will initial every one of your garments that you're signing in, indicating that you have turned in all of your required garments. And then candidates, if you are in need of additional resources for your garments, if you still, you know, you don't have some of your garments that you still need, there is a place called Borick Religious Supply and Company in Indiana, and that has been emailed to you on last week, and you can check that out if you need more information on it. And then candidates and accountability partners, just remember to submit your monthly evaluation form for each other to overseer. And then accountability partners, if you haven't done so, it's winding down, please submit your 5 examination questions to overseer as well. And then candidates, if you haven't turned in all of your written requirements by now, please contact overseer ASAP and let her know. And I think she mentioned it a little bit earlier when you are going to have your completed requirements in. And then for candidates, as well as anyone else that needs an AEN patch for your tippet, they are available for $25. You can email me at CHERITA_TATE@yahoo.com and let me know that you would like a patch. And then lastly, register. For those who have not registered for the AEN conference yet, you have the opportunity to register on this coming Sunday, August 4th, 2019, at 4 p.m. at Bethany Union Church, 1750 West 103rd Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60643 in the lower level. And then if you registered but you haven't made your conference payment yet, you can also do so at the time of registration on Sunday. And then the theme of this year's AEN conference is Momentum, Manifestation, Maturation, and Miracles in Luke 6:38. It's going to be held on Thursday, August 15, 2019, through Sunday, August 18, 2019. And again, that new location for the conference is going to be held at Bethany Union Church, 1750 West 103rd Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. So that means that if you booked your room at the old conference site, which was the Doubletree by Hilton, Lowell, Naperville, at 3003 Corporate West Drive in Lowell, Illinois, you want to cancel your room if you haven't done so already. And that cancellation number is 630-505-0900. And if you knew of anyone that, you know, any one of your guests or loved ones that reserved their room, can you please relay this information to them as well? And then when you cancel your room, you want to get the cancellation confirmation number for your records. And then the ordination and ordination ceremony and banquet is going to be held on Saturday, August 17th, 2019, at the Oaklawn Hilton, which is located at 9333 South Cicero, Oaklawn, Illinois, 60453. The ordination ceremony will begin at 4 p.m., which is followed by the banquet. If you are in need of overnight accommodations, they are $139 per night plus tax, and you want to contact Apostle immediately at 773-779-2900 so that we can make those reservations for you. And then just another side note, candidates are going to be seated at a reserve table during the banquet. All other seating is going to be on a first-come, first-served basis unless you would like to buy a table for your guests. You can buy a table of 8 or 10. So just let us know if that's what you want to do as well. And then the conference fee, of course, is $65 per person, and that includes one banquet ticket, and then additional banquet tickets are $35 per person. And then, again, the other way you can register is you can download the registration form, you can fill it out, and then email it back to aen.lfc@gmail.com, or you can mail it in to LFC AEN P.O. Box 2081, Madison, Illinois, 60443. And then you can, there's a number of payment methods you can choose. You can pay the conference with cash. You can do credit card. You can do Zelle. You can do Cash App. So, again, if you haven't registered, please register. And that's all that I have.
Thank you so much. We are so blessed with the efficiency of Elder Sherita. And everything that she said to you, she shared with you, is in one of the emails that she has sent out to you periodically. And so I highly, highly recommend you keep them all in one place so that you may make, they can be a source of information for you. I know last week we gave quite a bit of information out, but that information was gathering from of the various forms and things that we've given you. And the new information, excuse me, was sent out as it relates to your evaluation. So we do want to share the time of the workshops and of your track on that Thursday. It starts at 8, registration and garnet check-in, and then we'll have classes up until 12, and then there will be a break for lunch, and we'll come back. Let me check to make sure I'm giving you the right information. We will come back at 2 o'clock. And we'll come back at 2 o'clock, and we will meet in classes till 4 o'clock. So you're spending the day at Bethany Union. At 4 o'clock is your last class, and then worship service will be at Bethany Union in the evening, starting at 6:30. 6:30, that time of preparation. And then on that Friday, and this will be in your, when you come in, even though you registered for the conference, you must register on site. And that's when you'll receive a lot of the scheduling information so that you have that current and something to look at. And there are other things that you will receive. So even though you registered for the conference, you must sign in when you get there on Thursday. And then on Friday, we pretty much follow the same schedule. Classes start at 9, and they're over there about 1 hour or 50 minutes long, each one. There's a variety of sessions that you will be involved in that will be directly related to you and the ministry that you're being called to, giving you information and insight into your new office that you're walking into. And there is a tentative lunch that will be prepared for the... No, they're not. That's not on there. That's what you said before. Okay. And then at 3 o'clock, that's what I'm trying to get to, will be your evaluation. This evaluation, I sent the form out. It is closed to the general public. No one will be allowed in there except for those that are on the council. And they may or may not be people that you are familiar with. One of the issues that we're looking at currently is the fact that accountability partners have not turned in questions. And so if I don't get in from an accountability partner, I'm going to make them up. So I would suggest you encourage your accountability partner to get their five questions in for you. These are questions that you should not, I repeat, you should not have advance notice of what they're going to be. And it is just to strengthen your confidence in what God has put in you. It is not testing to see if you're good or bad, right or wrong, but just the confidence that you have in God and in answering those questions. And that's why it's best if your accountability partner does it, because they have some insight as to you and your life and your ministry and what you're believing the ministry to look like and the things that you're going to have to depend on for the maturing of your ministry. And so the examination will start at 3, and whenever you're done, you can leave. It is a setting where we will ask each person individually their first question. We'll go through the entire class, and we'll ask each person has a different question based on their accountability partner, and there are 5 questions, and we'll see how many of those 5 you will have to answer. Then there's also a question that the apostle gives everybody. She gives it to the candidates, she gives it to the committee, and she gives it to the accountability partner. And once you have finished that, and that question generally is a small three or four sentences, if that, and just depends on whatever the question is. And she'll be there to explain it. But as you are answering questions, one of the things that we're looking for, and you'll see that on the sheet. In fact, we'll go over that, how your answers are going to be assessed. But that's at 3 o'clock on Friday. You can't come in late. If you're not there and you missed the exam, you have missed your opportunity to next year. So then at 6:30 again, it's worship service. And then Saturday morning from 10 to 12, it's the anointing service. This is the service in which you will get your feet washed, you will get communion, you're being prepared to be garment fit for your garments, and you're consecrating yourself, sanctifying yourself in preparation of receiving the garment, the sacred garment. And this is at Bethany Union in the fellowship hall. You can wear anything that's church worthy. No pants for ladies. No pants for ladies. And you must have your items that you are turning in. Remember to not turn in your clergy shirt, because after the anointing service, we will meet back at the hotel. We'll meet at the hotel, period, at 4 o'clock. When you come to the hotel at 4 o'clock, you should have on all black. Now, that might include your clergy shirt. That is fine. If you didn't say, well, I didn't get a clergy shirt, that's fine. You still have to wear all black. All black is what you are going to march in. And those that have ever been ordained before will march in their full, Episcopal garb. So that's all of the accountability partners and anybody in ministry that's coming on your behalf. They are welcome in the processional, and it's a very sacred and a very exciting thing. And then you will march into your service. After the service will be the banquet. At the banquet, you will receive your papers. After the during the banquet.
Also, Juanita.
Yes. Any questions? Somebody had a question? Hello. Okay. I'll make sure everybody's on speaker. So I don't want you having a question and not getting to you. Okay. The other thing is after Saturday will be Sunday service. Sunday service will start at 2:30. As newly ordained leaders, you should be there at 2 o'clock. And you are going to be an intricate part of that service. It will be at Bethany Union Church in the lower level at 2:30. Your friends and family are welcome to all of the events with the exception of your evaluation. And we are excited about those that were so excited that they have people calling because they want to come. This is a monumental thing to happen in a family and with friends. And so it is a blessing to be able to share it with our loved ones and those that are in support of the calling on your life. So are there any questions or concerns? Okay, all is silent.
Okay.
One of the things that will happen during your ordination is that you can have someone speak to you on your behalf. One person, and they have like 3 minutes to share their knowledge and their witnessing of this call on your life and the effect it has had on the people around you. And the person that you want to do this, again, if it's a female, they cannot have pants on. No pants, no pants, nowhere, no how. Okay? And you need to turn that person's name in. All you have to do is text it to me on my phone, turn the person's name in so that we have an idea, okay, of how many people and where to place them. And I know Elder Sharita was sharing that you guys have a table. But if you have a lot of family members and friends coming and you want to obviously sit with them, that is not a problem. But you do need to share with Elder Sharita because we do have place cards, sticker thingies. So. And we do take into consideration that there are individuals that have husbands or wives and, you know, that they obviously will be together, not separated. And obviously, if you have children, you know, y'all would need a table. And we would know unless you tell us. And when you tell us, they will make arrangements for it. The banquet is really a very exciting time. It's a festive time. It's a celebratory time. And so, you know, I hope you're getting excited about it. I believe that the consensus is going to be that you all remain in your garments during the banquet. Remain in your garments during the banquet. And that way, if your family and friends want to take pictures of you as you're receiving your license and your ordination papers, you're being receiving them with your garments. Okay, any questions, concerns, thoughts you had and forgot, thoughts you come up with? Awful silence.
I have a question.
Okay.
This is Renita. Hello, everybody.
Okay.
Hi. For the friends and family, if they decide to come to the banquet, if they have, like, a last-minute decision to, like, come to the banquet, can they buy tickets at the last minute?
It will be at an additional cost. And the issue we have here is we have to turn the numbers in to the hotel. They're going to fix plates, X amount of plates, and that's it. So if someone maybe don't show up, or I don't know, it would really be a turkey shoot if they can and if they can't. So I would, obviously, I understand people sometimes have to wait, but it wouldn't, you know, it's not going to be guaranteed that they can. And they would be the last people being seated because all of the other seats will have been assigned. And so if there's some left, they could purchase at a different rate and they could come. And that's one of the things that's going to happen because after your ordination, there may be people that come to the ordination, but they didn't buy a ticket. But I encourage you to encourage them to buy one because it is such a high time that you then, once you get part of the experience, you really want all of it. You know, you really, you really want to be part of all of it, and they'll be asked to leave the room. The room has to be cleared out completely, and then those that have tickets will come in and keep your tickets. Keep up with your tickets. Okay, I got one. You know, I bought it. No. You must have your tickets in order to get a plate. Okay?
Okay.
To get into the banquet. And that's another thing. It is going to have to be timely because, again, we're being served, and they have a schedule that they have that year too. And so we want to make sure we flow from one service to the other in a way that enables them to fulfill they're part of the contract to us. So a lot of the individuals will be doing dual roles, you know, like Elder Sharita, she'll be doing quite a few things. So if we got some people that are the exceptions, they honestly, they're just going to have to wait and have to patiently wait till, you know, the flow is situated, and then they will be addressed. And so we encourage you to encourage them to be patient. But if at all possible, just be prepared and get the ticket beforehand. So.
Okay.
I hope that. Okay. Yeah. That's a good question. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well. If there are no more questions, any
overseer?
Yes.
Overseer? I have a question,
yes.
Minister Lynette.
Yes.
Will the accountability partners be with the candidates in their track, or are they supposed to be with them, their candidates?
That's a wonderful question. And because of the structure of the conference, you don't have to be at all times. There may be times when you will be required to be somewhere else because there are different sessions that are going on that will be required of the membership. And so if that's one of your sessions, maybe from 10:30 to 10:50, then you can't be in there. You're definitely welcome to be in there. I would want those that have been a part of the ordination last year to be in there. The accountability partners that are fulfilling their second year obligation, they have to be in there. Yes. Those that are the more seasoned accountability partners, we would love to have you and get your input. We're doing quite a few creative things, so we definitely would need the assistance. But as it stands now, it's not necessary.
Wow.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good question. I forgot to say. Okay. Yeah.
I have one more question.
Sure.
Okay. For the five questions for the accountability partner, is this five questions for each of the accountability partners, because I have two, so do both of them have to submit the 5 questions?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
But what's going to happen? I know you're thinking, what, I got 10? No, those that have
right.
one accountability partner. What I do is they give me the questions and I filter them, okay? And so I'll pick the best 5 of the 10 or however many, because sometimes they send more than 5. So, but the limit is 5. We never have enough time to do 5 questions per person. But this way we have a good variety. And so, yes, they must submit it, but no, you will still only be responsible for, I'll say, X amount, okay? And I say
okay.
X amount because depending on the length of the answers and the flow of it, sometimes they only got to 3 questions, and that was it, and that was fine, and then it was done. So it really depends. And one of the things that you will see in the evaluation for your process that Elder Sharita indicated she sent today to you, it shares the fact that there are 5 areas that are going to be evaluated. The first area is your paperwork. The second area is your phone communication and participation. The third area is additional participation. The fourth area is attendance. And the fifth area is the examination question. And with the examination question, we're looking for 3 things. Scriptural accuracy, how accurate is your answer in line with the Word of God? Knowledge of the subject, knowing what the Bible says about it or how the Bible defines it or what it is categorized as. And then understanding, to have knowledge and then have understanding of the subject. Each one of these areas, you will be given a score between 1 and 10. 10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest. And then in each area, it is recorded, and then an average score will be calculated. Extra points for doing a superb job with the apostles' questions. She looks at them and she'll say, give them 2 extra points. Or she'll look at them and say, you know, they're not getting their paperwork. No, she don't say that. Or she'll say, give me back.
Don't say that. That was not funny, Mother Paulette.
No, actually, and that's one of the things, I'm just kidding. No, she will take away people's paperwork if their answer is, you know, that off the wall. However, the most she's ever done in the past was just throw a piece of candy at them. She wanted a water gun so she could squirt it, but we kind of tried to talk her out of that.
She ain't got it.
Yeah. And this is for everybody, committee, if you're an apostle or an adjective, from top to bottom, it doesn't matter. Everybody gets this question. And then there are things that points are taken. So you may have done an excellent paper, but you turned it in late. So their points will be deducted based on the length of time it was late. And so all of that is taken in consideration after you get your average. So say you may average 6 in all of the areas, it averages 6. And then you get an extra 2 points because of your apostle answer. So that means you have an overall of 8. But if your papers were late and it was late each week, you get deducted a point, and you're only getting 10, then your score can go down. Now, one of the things, any assessment, I shouldn't say score, but any assessment that's 6 and under, we have recommendations. It's not that you don't get to proceed, but what it is you will be required to do certain follow-up. And one of the things that in the past has happened is you may have to go through the next ordination as accountability partner, you know, doing everything that the candidate themselves has done. Or maybe there's a class that you need to take, a workshop, or maybe there's a conference that you'll need to document that you went to. Some have been required to start a journey of reading through the Bible and being accountable for a schedule of doing so. So there's always a solution for perfection. And then even after your ordination, by November 4th, there are a list of books. I know it says the first, but by November 4th, there's a list of books. You must pick 2 of these books, and you must read them and write a 5-page type summary per book. This review should include the ministry application of the book material. So, for instance, a shepherd's look at the 23rd Psalm. So your review would be the fact that a shepherd is like a pastor. And as a pastor, you need to do some of the things that the shepherd did. And those are some of the things that's listed in the book. And so it's not a doctoral, but it's just, wow, I read this and this is what I gleaned from it that will help me in ministry. We have the gardener's look at the fruit of the Spirit, as well as the shepherd look at the 23rd Psalm, the call of God, making process of a leader, the green letters, absolute surrender, and Jesus the evangelist. So there's a variety of books that you have you're able to do your report on. Now, if there's a book that you prefer, then in advance you have to submit it to me, and then the committee will evaluate it and see if it's the kind of book that will bring about the results that we are looking to establish. Okay?
Okay, so that's if we don't receive the points that we necessarily need. Mm-hmm. We will have to go through that.
No.
Okay.
The reading of the book is automatic. It doesn't matter. You can score 12 if you want. And you can with extra points.
Okay.
But this is just the next step. So once you get your papers, you're not done. You know.
Oh, okay.
You have till November, you know, which gives us like 2 months, September and the month of October, to read these books. They're not real big books. They're one is really tiny. You probably can do it in a week. And,
okay, do we have the listing of those books already?
No, as long as you pick one from this list, it doesn't matter. It's only if you pick something different that is, huh?
No,
yes,
I'm
the
saying,
books
do
are
we
listed.
Have those? Okay.
Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry, yes. They're on your, they're on the form that Elder sent out today, and they're also on the form that tells you your due dates and things. So one of the first papers that you receive, it is on that.
Okay.
So,
okay. We can get started on those.
I say that again?
I'm sorry.
Can
go
you
ahead,
go ahead. Amazon.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Actually, if you want to do the Shepherd's Look at 23rd Psalm, I can give you that book, but you would have to let me know during the conference because we always have copies of that. We got a lot of copies of that.
Okay.
But other than
me.
That,
so that was,
now, I see.
I'm
I think that one of
that.
The. Say that again.
I'm sorry. So that you say that's due November when?
November 4th.
And that's 5 pages per book? I mean, yeah, 5 type pages per book?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Still, come plug in my computer. One of the books, Absolute Surrender, you can actually type that in and get it PDF file right on the floor. Plug in my computer. And so it's you can get it. And actually the green letters as well, you can get it in a PDF file, so you don't necessarily have to buy the book. Okay. Good questions.
Okay.
Anybody else?
What if you get in front of somebody and your man just go blank? What do you do?
Oh, you'll
because
see
you're
what happens. Yeah, well, we've had those nervous people. We've had those that... You know they know the answer, and you would be amazed at some of the people, and they don't come up with it. They just, they can't do it, which is why it's only a part of your assessment. So remember, you still have 4 other areas in order to shine, if you will. And so we understand there's no one area that has more weight than another. And again, this is something that even with the apostles' questions, this is a you write it out. So when those that can't speak or they're nervous to speak, maybe you write better. Well, you have an opportunity to write with her question, and you can turn that in. So it is not a area of we really want to, and I believe that everybody's going to have some level of nervousness, I would imagine. But you have to remember that. This is God's idea. This is not your idea. And so he knows the process. And he says those that trust him will not be made ashamed. So it's okay. You know, and it may be that the question you could not answer just becomes questions that you'll be recommended to find the answer and submit it. Now, don't everybody decide, well, I'm not going to ask the question. I'm going to wait. No, that won't work. Trust me. Okay. But we understand that there are levels of anxiety that are real and they are valid and they also have been taken into consideration. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We even give hints. We say, do you want to, you got 3, you want a lifeline. You know, you can ask somebody. I mean, it becomes a interesting experience, you know, and like I say, sometimes people, you're not to answer other people's questions, absolutely not, but you can get a lifeline from the committee, you know, from the council, what do you call them? The council, you know, you could say you want one lifeline, can you tell me one thing? And I believe in the past, we have not allowed them to have their Bibles, but with this group, you are allowed to bring your Bibles. Now, you cannot bring your phone that you could talk to and get an answer from. So, phones are out, but the hard copy Bibles, you know, the Bible book with pages are in. Okay?
So, I can bring my Riley Bible?
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah.
Now, just remember, these questions are time sensitive. We're not going to wait for 10 minutes for you to find something in the Bible. Okay?
Oh, no. I just need a little help.
Well, you'll have the word.
A little help to refresh my, you know, whatever the question is.
Hey,
God might just go bing, and I got it.
Okay, then you got it. Yeah, you can have your Bible. So I've really taken up a lot of time, and I'm really excited about the presentations for tonight. So we're going to go right into them. If there's no more questions, or most people are asking me questions because they're not ready with their presentation. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm ready to do man.
Amen.
I'm ready.
So we're going to start with Sister Cheryl. Okay, week 5.
Good evening, everyone. Week 5, which came from the book of Numbers, the 16th chapter, the 32 to the 34th verse, and the subject was miracles. So before I read the scripture, I would like to read a little something about miracles. Likewise, miracles are signs in the sense of being supernatural indications of the near presence and power of God. They declare the supremacy and perfect freedom of God, even in the natural world. They are also signs of special grace from God because of their essential connection with that special revelation that centers in Jesus Christ, whose mission it is to release and restore the world from this disorder and dominion of sin. So, 1 second. Numbers 16:32-34. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households, and all the men who supported Korah with all their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive to Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. All Israel who were around them fled at their outcry, for they said, "The earth may swallow us up also." Miracles. What I understood from this whole question about the is that from the beginning, Korah had a problem with Moses and Aaron and their ability from God to rule. So, in order for when he stepped to Moses and Aaron, he says, "You guys basically are full of yourself. Who are you? Are you better than us? You're holy. We're all holy." So he said, if they can give rulership, then we should be able to give rulership too. So why are we listening to them? And as with any people, when you have one person who wants to stand up, people may be thinking that certain thing, but they may be afraid to say that. And then when someone else comes along who has an aggressive attitude, we'll say, and they begin to say something, and then everybody says, "You know what, they right. We're going to go along with them. And so what he did was he gathered enough people together with him to go against Moses and Aaron, which was a bad thing because they were pointed out from God. They were anointed and appointed by God. And it caused them to actually, when you're saying something against someone that God has appointed, you're actually not saying it against them. You're saying it against God. And so now they began to sin against God, and their rebellion grew within them, and also rebellion grew in them, revenge and all of these other things. And so when Moses came to him, he said, "Look, check this out. So the person who is holy, tomorrow we'll let God be the one who judges. And he'll bring that person closer to him, and that's the person that we'll look at as being holy." And he said, "So if you think that I am full of myself, guess what? You full of yourself too." So and Moses could have grew out of anger because, you know, Moses did have a temper. He contained himself, and he dealt with Korah very smart. He used wisdom when he dealt with them because he allowed him to know that whatever you said, he cried out to him and he told him, "Look, deal with this. We'll deal with this kind of way, and we'll let God do it." And a lot of times that's what we need to do. Instead of us jumping ahead of ourselves and wanting to be the one to dictate everything, we should allow God to be in control of what is the situation is, instead of coming in our own flesh, because he could have gotten his own flesh, but he didn't. He decided to let God be the one that determine everything. And when God determines everything, everything works out perfectly, because it says in the Bible, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. And it worked out perfectly for Moses and Aaron, because at the end, as many times as the children of Israel had seen before, they saw the hand of God move in the lives of those people that went with the sons of Korah, how the earth opened up. And when I see that in the natural, I say, it looked like a sinkhole. That probably was what happened. It just covered them up, and they began to cry as they went down into hell. They began to cry. And the people who were standing by, they became an example now. They became an example to those who would step up and try to say something about Moses and Aaron. Nobody wouldn't say anything else against them. But they would continue to murmur because they murmured and continued to murmur all the way from 40 years ago, even when they saw the 10 plagues, when they saw everything that Moses had did through, what God allowed him to do through him, they still did not believe. And they would still continue to murmur and complain, but then God would still begin to show them things and make examples.
Yeah.
That's how we have to learn, through examples. But in this day and age, you guys, when things are happening, let's not be the ones to say, God, we need you to show us a sign. We need you to show us a wonder. Because he's always doing it. He's doing it through people. He's doing it through things. And he's doing it through places. So that will be the end of my presentation. They were made an example. The people saw the things that were happening in that time, how God was beginning to show them things, even though they had seen things before. It could have been them in that time when they brought them out of Israel, or it could have been their children's children. But I'm sure at that time, as we tell our generations things that happened with Big Mama and Mama and all of them, that is the same thing that happens in that lineage. Moses was there, and everything that he had done was done before, and the children of Israel that were left, the descendants, were able to see what had happened, what God was continuing to do to show them that he loved and he cared them. You brought us all the way out of here.
Yeah.
We ain't got no milk and honey. Oh, yeah, you done seen God do some things. You done seen God give you manna from heaven. You done walked around 40 years. Your shoes didn't wear out. Your clothes didn't wear out. God is still doing new things. He is still performing miracles today, even in our time and age. That's the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Well, that was great.
Are we still on Blob Talk?
Hello? Hello?
Okay,
I'm
sorry. Hello? Hello? All right.
That
always says with you. Huh?
She's on the line. Minister Paulette's on the line.
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, excellent. All right, so take notes for those that are coming next week. All right, so let's go to the name of God for week 5. Sister Renita.
Yes, ma'am, that will be me. Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Yes.
Okay, I was given the name of God and why that they decided to call him the Mighty God. So in Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So when I broke this down, this is what I came up with. When the scripture states, "For unto us a child is born," I took that as when Mary gave birth. Then it goes on to say, "Unto us a son is given." So God presented us, the nation, with his son to watch over us and protect us from our sin. This is why he is presented as the Mighty God, because he holds the weight of our burdens and sin upon his shoulders. This is why he is the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, because we should not worry about anything, because he is the Almighty God. And in Psalms 24:8, it states, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is El Gabor, our rock, our shield, our protector, our savior. He is the Almighty God who will stand before our enemies and fight our battles. The Lord is strong and mighty because he knows our, or my flesh is weak, and the enemy will come at me in all shapes and forms, and knowing the Almighty God covers me with armor of protection, nothing can harm me." So going forth through this consecration, I know the Almighty God is walking with me and opening doors and revealing to me the direction or path he has set forth for me. I used to walk through life wondering what is my purpose. Now I don't wonder anymore because the Almighty God has called me to do his will. God has been truly good to me. I have accomplished things that I never thought of and came so far in my life that it only could have been the Almighty God watching, holding, and protecting me and my family. For a while, I lived the life of Job, stripped down to nothing, but never questioned my faith and who was in my corner. And now the Almighty God has turned my life around, and I am so happy to be taking this journey He has put forth, he has put on me. Okay, and that's my presentation.
Well, wonderful. Amen. Excellent. I'm excited. Let's go to the next one. We don't want to run out of time. All right. So now we're going to our put on, put off. Minister, Sister Nita.
Hi, everyone. Mine is put on, put off, pleasing God versus pleasing men. I'm going to start off with pleasing men. I have a scripture to read, Proverbs 29:25. It says, "Sincere men bring a sneer, but whosoever put his trust in the Lord shall be saved."
Yeah.
What I wrote on my paper for pleasing men is not doing God's work, doing all of the opposite of God's word. And doing all of the opposite from God's word, I put down the drinking, the smoking, going to the lounge, the boat, doing all things that are opposite of God. We as saints sometimes don't always do everything like fasting, praying, reading the word of God. I also added on with pleasing men, sleeping around when you know that God is not pleased with that, not spreading his word, and basically doing everything that's not pleasing to God. My next one is putting on, pleasing God. I said doing his work, spreading his word, praying, fasting, bringing people to salvation, letting your light shine so that others can see that you are a Christian, putting on the armor of God, repenting every day when you rise up, repenting to God and asking him to forgive you. I put down an example for pleasing God for myself. I had to do a 360 when it came to pleasing God. I had to teach myself to separate myself from people, places, and things if I wanted to please God and stay saved. So that's my presentation for tonight.
Well, excellent. Amen. This is wonderful. This is so encouraging.
Absolutely.
All
praise
right.
God.
Absolutely. So now we have one more. We have Brother Errol and our statement of faith for this week.
Okay, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My statement of faith is, have faith at all times. Faith is pleasing God. Before he was taken up, he said of him that he had pleased God. Without faith, no one can please God, because the one coming to God must believe he exists, and he rewards those who come see him.
Amen.
By faith, Noah respected God, warning regards the flood, the like of which no one has ever seen. And he built the ark, saved his family, and all the animals. That comes from having faith. Faith believes that you get up tomorrow morning and go outside, the car will start. Faith is, you know, believing and always having faith. And that's just fine.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
You know, I encourage you to encourage each other. And I believe that as you share together, it bonds you as a unit, and it gives you an understanding of one another. And that's what we are all doing this for. Now, next week, our presenters are Minister LaTanya, Sondai from California. This is Keturah, is our statement of faith. Anybody not get something? Yeah, I said Kiela is, what did she say? Elder Sharita, did you write down what I said last week? I wrote notes and I can't read them, and that's God's truth.
Overseer, this is Pastor Marlette. Minister LaTanya will do the miracle sign and wonder. Sister Kiela will do the name of God. Our candidate from California will do the put off and put on. And Sister Couture will do the weekly and faith statement.
Well, thank you very much. Praise God. We need each other. So those are the assignments for next week.
Amen.
And come ask questions. You're doing this consecration along with them. And as you study, if you have insights you would like to add or bring, or it raises questions, this is the time to have those questions addressed. So we do thank you all. We will turn the rest of the meeting into, if there's no more questions, when all minds are clear, we'll turn the rest of the meeting into the hands of Minister LaTanya.
Amen.
Take your phone off mute.
Hi, guys. My mom is not here today, so... do you want me to stand in her place?
Sure. You go right ahead.
I'll say a few things. I'll say some.
Oh, okay.
And so when we're talking about week five, I just want to go across the schedule a little bit. And so first of all, we see that Moses is speaking prior to the opening up the earth, and they are swallowed in terms of the consecration. And when we are talking about the earth opening up and them being swallowed, and they're being swallowed because of our hold on the world. And awfully often when we are talking about, we think of things that are tangible. But I think that we in this season, as prophet has so awesomely and continuously embedded with us, we have to think of this in terms of our whole life. And so when we're looking at this, the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and his company out of Numbers 16:32-34, we have to remember that one of the things that God has promised, and because we're looking at God's promises, and that's part of this consecration, is making sure that we continuously envelope everything. It's one of the things is he promised that he'll give us a way of escape. And so when we're talking about this concept in Numbers 16:32-38, actually, we're looking at this concept of holding on to the world. And so when we choose to let go of the world, that takes us to the put on, put off. When we choose to let go of the world, that's a hard issue. Because in order to let go of the world, we have to choose to trust. When we're letting go of the world, we're deciding that we trust the whole word of God. From Genesis to Revelation and all things in between. And that goes to that man pleasing out of Proverbs 29:25. And then going into pleasing God out of Luke 12:4-5. And when we look at that, we have to recognize that one of the things he promises that if we choose to please him, all things will be contained, manifested, rewarded. And that goes back to the name of God. And that goes to our mighty God, Isaiah 9:6. He is our mighty battle, he is mighty in battle, El Gabor. And that's Psalms 28:4. And one of the things we have to as Christians, no matter what part of ordination you are at, what you have done before and where you're going, we have to choose that we can trust him. And that's why I say it's a hard issue. We have to choose to trust him. And then under our weekly faith statement, it says faith is seeing it complete. That's a matter of trust. Can I trust his word? And when we trust his word, we're trusting that it's true. We are choosing that we can trust his whole word. That everything, when we look at Prophet Henderson's, he will always and always has been on Jeremiah 29:11. The thoughts he has for us. We have to choose to believe the thoughts he has for us are good. It's for a perfected end. And so I just encourage us to believe and to trust and to stay in line with it and choose not to fall in the trap. Because when we look at one of the things that asked us to look at was out of Luke. And when we're looking at Luke, one of the things is like, don't fall into the trap. Don't become a coward. Almost every... When you look at, I don't know how many versions of the Bible people are using, but I looked at at least 17 to 20 versions, and all of them say trust. Then it goes to confiding. So whether we it's a matter of trusting in him. And then when we talk about fearing people, they call that a trap. Fearing people is a trap. They literally call it a snare. And so we have to decide that, I'm not going to fall in that snare. I'm not going to get into the trap. Realm that, you can visualize, I can visualize a trap, whether it's, from human beings or what we're talking about, a trap that we lay out for animals or the snare that we lay out for animals, because we are beasts before the Lord. So I just encourage us in this season, because it says grace to separate ourselves from evil, and evil people comes with our salvation. So that is a basic basic, that's bare minimum we are giving in. It's the grace.
Amen.
And I encourage everybody to look at that grace. And he promises to give us a way of escape. And that's our basic thing that we are given just when we look at this week's consecration. Love you all. Praise the Lord. Back into the hands of our overseers.
Thank you, Elder. Thank
Amen.
You, Elder. We do want to remind you of week six is a 3-hour fasting. Denying
yes.
yourself of a feel or soul pleasure for 3 hours every day. That's week six. And we have our speakers for week six. And for week seven, these are going to be our presenters, and they're your accountability partners. And so, therefore, you need to tell your accountability partner, if they're not on the line, what they need to do. For the miracle, this Pastor Diane. For the name of God is Minister Tamika. For the put on, put off, Minister Lynette Harris. And for the statement of faith, Elder Arlett. So your accountability partners will bring this for you next week. No, week seven. That will be week starting the last week of the consecration, August 12th. Next week, we have Minister Tanya, Sister Kieva, Sanjay from California, and Sister Keturah Johnson. All right, so that's it. If there be no more questions, I encourage you to read the questions that you should be answering when you do your consecration. It's on some of the first pages of the consecration. And don't forget to read the prayer. Don't forget to read the prayer as part of your 3-hour fast. Read the prayer declaration for your consecration. All right, Sister Kiela.
I have a question. This is Sunil from California.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah. So what time the ceremony will be completed on Sunday, 18th of Sunday?
On Sunday, it should be over by 4 o'clock.
Okay.
5 o'clock.
Okay. Sure.
5 o'clock. Yeah, if you got planes to catch, make it 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that's what I was planning, actually. Thank you.
Oh, okay, great. Oh, no problem at all. We look forward to seeing you and meeting you.
Amen. Thank you.
Oh, amen. All right. So, thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, we'll have our closing prayer if there's nothing else.
Okay, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you've already done, and what you're going to do in our lives, Father. We thank you for bringing us here, for letting everybody get whatever they needed out. We pray that you would let us be like little sponges and retain everything and not just let it go in one ear and out the other, God. Let it sink in, Father. We pray for a level of maturation to still be going throughout this entire process, God. We pray that you cover those that are traveling right now. And, yeah, just thank you. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. All right, then. We will talk next week. Good night.